the Hobbit with you.
Oh, okay, whatever. We're good.
Okay, research also shows that good friends can prolong your life, while bad friends can decrease how long you live.
Hmm.
Good friends give both ideal life. This is a quote from Mark Twain. He's a writer and he says, good friends can raise or decrease stress. Good friends are also really important because they will influence you. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, while whoever walks with the fools will suffer harm. What you should take from this is that good friends are one of the most important things in life, and you should value them. If you have many bad friends, you'll become like them. But if you have many good friends, then you'll also become like them.
Amen. Jonathan, can I have that piece of paper? You just said so many. Can I have this? Okay, good. I got to put this in my notes because you listed so many incredible benefits. I mean, it's amazing. Good friends can raise stress or decrease stress. I mean, it's phenomenal. You know, I mean, there's actually a scientific study that shows that people who have really close companions and friendships actually live longer. People in hospitals, okay, especially women with a certain kind of cancer, they recover quicker when they have good friends who visit them. They actually stay on the average, I think it's like 2 days less in a hospital. I mean, it's amazing the power of friendships. And then like Lily brought to a beautiful conclusion, you know, Jesus as our best friend is really the most important thing in the whole world. And, you know, this topic, I'm really lit today, and I'm trying to calm myself down. I had no caffeine today. But God woke me up this morning, and every morning I wake up, my right foot is in pain because I have a heel spur. This morning He woke me up at 5 o'clock. No, it was 4:49, and I got up, and I knew He wanted me to get up, and my foot did not hurt. It was amazing. And I went right to my computer and I wrote stuff down that He was giving me. And these are the things that He's been speaking, okay? He's been speaking that our hearts are like a garden. And our friends are those who come into the gardens of our hearts. It's an amazing, an absolutely amazing truth. The garden of your heart. Hey, look at Isaiah 61. It says, we are called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And the more I kept thinking about these gardens, I was getting pretty excited about it. All right? I love to garden, by the way. That's one of my gardens in the front of my house. And this is another garden in the back. And I always have these two chairs, you know, and like one is for me, and one is for the Lord. And I spend as much time in my garden as I possibly can. Somebody will call me, I'll be in the house, I'll go out to the garden. And while they're talking, I'll pull weeds and just fix little things here and there, you know. Because I love being in the garden. In the middle of the garden, Genesis tells us, there were tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So if we get this idea that we are a garden, and in the midst of us, there is this tree of life. And I love what Paul says. He says, where is faith? Faith is even in your own mouth. You don't have to go far away to get it. God has written within us some precious truths that are like this tree of life, but also is the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So any one of us sitting here this morning can think in a moment, in a flash right now, of the evil thoughts that we have. But to let God arise within is a little bit more challenging at times. This truth of Jesus, I think this is incredible. God in the beginning made Adam out of the soil, the dust, the clay. And it was in a garden. How cool is that? Jesus often met with the Father in a natural garden. Perhaps He reflected on Eden, His creation, because He was in the Father when He created everything, and Adam, the gardener. Okay? Perhaps He looked forward to His resurrection when Mary would mistake him for the gardener. I mean, from cover to cover. I've never seen this like this before. Perhaps he considered that he would be the last Adam, the gardener, who would turn the soil of men's hearts into Eden, where once again we could walk and talk with him. See, our hearts are truly like a garden of the Lord. And who we let in is very important. Very, very important. Because, like, Brady walks in my garden of my heart. And as he walks, he waters some things that are already there. And he plants some things that were never there before. And so, like Jonathan shared, you know, good friends can really benefit you. You know, but the wrong friends can really tear up a garden, okay? They really can. We babysat a dog one time, and this dog came, you know, we kept him in our backyard, and the dog was terrible. He dug up all kinds of plants that I had planted. It was a terrible dog. I hated that dog. I was looking for a Chinese recipe for that dog. You know, it was just a terrible, terrible little beast. Cute as can be. Probably tasty. I never found out. Anyhow, God, throughout his word, has walls of protection around his gardens. It is amazing. And you know, as I have traveled to many places in the world, I have discovered one thing. Wherever God has touched down, people garden. Now you can say, well, sure, everybody gardens, we have to eat. True. But where people really love God and have a relationship with him, it's interesting. They create beautiful gardens, and they don't just raise food. They raise flowers. Flowers. I was thinking about it today. What's up with flowers? Have you ever considered, like, why did God make flowers? Why did he make flowers? Any ideas? Well, you can eat them. Some of them you can eat, okay? Like roses, you can eat roses. I have roses growing everywhere. I walk by, I pluck a leaf off, I eat it. It's full of vitamin C. It's great. I have violets. You can eat violets. You know, little purple violets are all blooming now. They're kind of fun. You can, you know, put sugar on them and throw them on your ice cream. You know, it looks kind of funny. You got flowers on your ice cream. You just eat them up. Yeah, it's really kind of fun. But other than that, a lot of them you can't eat. They're just fun to look at, okay? But here we have, in Isaiah, this beautiful story. God says, my people are like a garden. And what I did, he says here, is I went and I pulled all the rocks out of the ground so the roots could grow really well. And so I took the rocks and I made a wall so that my garden would be protected. And I put a gate. So I built my garden, he says. But what did my garden do? My garden didn't respond to me. And so God tells us here, he's going to break down. He's not going to prune it anymore. He's going to let the wild animals come in, and the weeds are going to grow, and he's going to break down the hedge and tear down the wall. Because his people really didn't want him as their personal gardener. All right. So walls and gates. The walls are there for our protection. What are some of the walls in our lives? The wall. Just so that we can grow well. The walls. I was just would have challenged. I know we win. You know, I still want to try. Okay. But some other walls might. We're looking at morality and sex. one rule that we could come for, like, that was, what is a, came up with one. They said, don't be alone. I thought that was pretty good. They came up with some other ones. They were kind of funny. I won't go into it. All right, here we go. We've got walls and gates, okay? Walls and gates in very, very beautiful gardens. And Isaiah brings that out very, very beautifully. We looked at that already, okay? They protect us. These walls protect us from predators. And there are predators. Where I live, there are animals that eat everything I plant, okay? The deer come up. They eat my hostas, all right? There was some wild, ravenous beast there the other night. Chris and I did not know what it was. But it got into a fight, and it was killing. One animal was killing another animal. There are predators out there, okay? And I've got to tell you, as we've heard about friends today, friends can do a lot of good, but friends can likewise do a lot of damage. So God wants there to be these walls of protection in our lives, okay? And they protect us so that, and check it out. You know, in that one slide I showed you, this is so cool. There's a wall all around this garden, but there's no roof. Is that cool? Because God can rain down on this garden. God can shine down on that garden. But on an earthly level, he keeps intruders from penetrating that wall. Okay? And so there's a time when we have to have this kind of very ugly sign up. You know? And I don't think there's been a sign like this. Well, the first one was at the garden. When Adam and Eve had to leave the garden. All right? And it seems that, you know, God is in the business today of restoring that beautiful relationship and friendship that was going on when he walked with them in the cool of the day. It's very beautiful. But see, I really don't like that kind of a sign. But I really know that I need that kind of a sign. I had a cousin, Joe, when I was growing up. And he was not only my cousin, but he was a friend. And he introduced me to a lot of wrong things until one day I had to make a decision. Was he going to continue to be my good friend or not? And it was tough because he was my cousin. But I moved in a different direction, moved in a whole new direction. Walls. We see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, art thou but the inhabitants of this received Abraham, thy friend? Abraham was a man who had God as his friend because he understood that even though he lived in Ur of the no doubt had walls about it. It had gates. And Abraham made a decision one day to not be friends with place, but to gate and walk. Sense of spiritual wall and spiritual gates. Now he was at one point. So we had this friendship. Alright? Let's say a little bit. Great people. A little shocking. Not God. God in it. Influences on the planet are other people. Because he's there. The instruments clay vessels that are empty until God pours in or the enemy pours in. And so we want to be very... that life is lonelier on a human level, and it's much more spiritual level, because it is only... And I love the verse that Lily brought out today. Some more images of gates and gardens that are enclosed. They're really beautiful. And Lily brought this out of John chapter 15. I'll start in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my command, that you love one another as I loved you, which was also brought up. Lay his life. Jesus says, you are my friends. Anybody know the next word? You are my friends. If. Fantastic. If. Oh my gosh. We just can't like hang out with Jesus. I set a chair up for him in my garden. But he says, my friend, if what? Anybody know? I hear a lot of mumbling, but I think you're all right. If you keep my... Love, yeah. All right, love. What does that mean? Should we all just like, the Bible says greet one another with a holy kiss. Should we just all like get up and start kissing each other right now? No. Okay. Oh, look, he says, I'll get to that point in a minute. This is what we want to come to. We want to come to this. This is a simple truth. In 1 John 1:7, it says this, but if, again that word if, very painful word in the Word of God, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Okay? This is so cool. We get to have fellowship with each other. His light. So here's step one. Walk in the light. Two, walk in the light with other people who are in the light. Today we heard from Jonathan, from Lily, because they've been walking in the light of God. And they could bring it, because there's only three things. Cleanses our gardens from all unrighteousness, so those weeds that are there, okay? So it's a relationship with God. And I just discovered the other day, I was reading Romans, and I know, I think I've read the Bible through, I don't know, probably 30 times, okay? And just the other day, I saw this little phrase in Romans 3. It says, the law of faith. The law of faith. So I began to just meditate on that, okay? And I thought, well, faith comes by hearing. Faith. So I was thinking about how, you know, when every one of us were a baby, okay, we were in our... And what was that thing called? Belly button now? Everybody, can you touch your belly button for a minute? Okay, can you feel your belly button? Okay, all right. There was this... What was that thing called? A cord, okay? Yeah, right. So it's an umbilical cord. So there was this... And I was thinking, it's kind of like if we're today... Whoops. If we are today, like, in the womb of eternity, it's, we have an umbilical cord. But instead of going to our stomach, okay, what if it goes to our hearts, right? Where I go, I have this umbilical cord. All right, it's like really, really cool because I have this constant connection with God. See, and this is what it means, because the scripture talks. God's got a big one. All right, whoops. So God, listen. God wants to not walk like today on the way here. Okay, I was not driving according to the speed limit. I didn't care about the speed limit, because I was in the spirit with the Lord. The law didn't mean anything to me anymore, because I had this connection with Him. So I want us to get this verse. This is so incredibly cool, okay? We shouldn't live according to an outward law, but live by the law of the Spirit, which is life in Christ. This is how we know how to develop our friendship vertically, so we can have the right friends horizontally. You know, when you really love God, you radiate. You're walking in this light, and you radiate this presence. And then the people who love God, want God, the sinners who want God, they're magnetized to you. They start coming around. I've had the most incredible last trimester at school. You know, I'm helpless. I really can't do very much very well. And I'm needy, like, all the time. And when I don't think I'm needy, it's because I just don't realize things this way. So it's like, I need my God. Have you seen the movie What About Bob? Anybody see that movie? No? Okay. All right, sorry. There's not a name. No. Bob is connected to him, like, he's a crazy guy. Vacation. I need. It's just this horribly person. I'm sorry if I'm scaring you. But anyhow, it's just like this, being totally connected. Bob in this movie was connected to a psychiatrist, okay? But we want to be those who are connected to our God continually. Because if the baby in the womb has a severed umbilical, it's going to die. All right? And the Lord has made it really clear. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit will be disconnected. Got to get connected again. See what I'm saying? So he is our lifeline. He's totally our lifeline. All right? So this brings us to this law of the spirit of life in Christ. If I'm walking like this, and I decide I want to be friends here, you know, with my buddy, and then I get a little close, and the Lord's like, no, wrong friend, stay away from him, okay? So I walk over here, and God says, yep, this is one. And I can be friends, okay? Now, this guy is awesome, isn't he? You should have been there. Anyhow, so we get back to this garden thing, okay? So now, we love Jesus. When we love Jesus, this is what happens. This friendship thing, okay? We got it going on this way, which is real sweet. But then he wants us to have it going on this way so the body of Christ can be built up, okay? So now what happens is if Jesus is really my friend, I start to see things his way, all right? And we can see that the disciples didn't always agree with the Lord. They're walking along, they come to the city, and the disciples go, oh yeah, I read this in the good book. The prophet called down fire. Jesus, these people don't love you. Should we call down fire on them? We can do this. And Jesus is like, oh, for crying out loud, you know not what spirit you are of. All right? Peter says, thou art the Christ. And Jesus goes, yes, you're right. Jesus says, I got to die on a cross. Peter says, no. Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. So here you've got these close disciples. One minute they're on, next minute they're off. Because they were connected, they were disconnected, connected, disconnected, get a little piece here, a little piece there. And God is after a permanent connection with him, okay? A permanent connection, all right? It's kind of like an IV. I hate to say it that way. But you know, when you're sick, and you're in the hospital, you need an IV, you just carry that little thing around when you see the people walking like this with the pole and their IVs all over the hospital. You know, it's like, you know, don't unplug me, I'll die. I won't be able to shuffle through the halls anymore. You know, we've got to maintain our connection. So here's, this is really cool, okay? John 14, I love this. Romans 14:7 says this, that God looks ahead in our lives and he sees what he's going to do. So he looks at everybody that way, and he sees us as already completed, all right? He looks at Ryan, and he says, oh, I called him. I've justified him by my blood. And as I look to the future, I see him all finished. And stuff everywhere. Don't I? Just pull this out. Yeah. All right. So, I've got this. Are you sure it's okay, Jerry? Oh, it didn't work. You broke my camera. Again. Straight at me. All right. This should work. So what this does, this is an amazing program. Praise God, we live in this century. And what this does is this projects to the year 2047. All right. Oh! I can't see what he's going to look like. Isn't he beautiful? Look at this. Okay. Now, quite contrary to this, okay. Jerry. You're just a cute little Asian man. Okay. What God does, though, Not bad. What God is, he looks ahead and he doesn't see us just wrinkled. He's garden flourishing with trees of righteousness. He sees the fruit. Just because he's God, it's because he put a plan into action. He said, "When I grace, I was going to give you empowerment. I was going to let you connected to me grace through this tube right to your heart, which means I'm going to to walk the way you're supposed to walk with." The people you're supposed to be with. See, God knows what he can do. Now, is it going to happen if we keep his commandments that he gives us in our relationship? It will happen. We don't cut off the branch that doesn't stay abiding the way it's supposed to. 22. The goodness of the Lord toward those who continue. Oh, it's not a one time. Behold, the goodness of the Lord and the severity of God to those who don't. So what God has put is a friendship with him. So that we stay continually connected. Always be aware. I think I've told you before, I actually glued eyeballs all over the ceiling of my classroom because I want my students to remember that God is always, always watching. Okay? Yeah, I got eyeballs all over the ceiling. It's really kind of fun. Okay? It's interesting that Adam was formed and Adam sinned. And then sin. He was so connected to her that he allowed her, like I said before, it wasn't God influencing, it wasn't the devil influencing Adam, Eve. And Eve had let the devil in. And now he comes up to tempt Adam. She was innocent in it. It's always known as the sin of Adam. Abraham connected to his wife, listening to her continually complain, I want a baby, I want a baby. Finally, she comes up with a downfall comes because God uses people, or the enemy uses people, to bring us down. In the same way, though, countries of every hero with God. We have Abraham. He was a friend of God. Because he lived, Abraham lived by every word that came from the mouth. No law in Abraham's day. Abraham didn't. All he had was God. And you know what? That's all we need. That's all we need. He was justified by faith before Christ died because he had this connection. He was always hearing from the Lord. David, friendship with God. It was awesome. The apostle. Well, I hope this morning that you have tasted and seen of this wonderful, wonderful truth that our lives are like a garden. And the Lord comes as a gardener. And He wants us to be gardeners as well in our own hearts. It's the first job that God gave any human being. It was to Adam. It was to tend the garden. And I believe God would have us tend the garden today. You know, He's paid an incredible price. He laid His life down for His friends. That's who we are. I almost died one time. I was trying to learn how to swim at a neighbor's house, and I jumped in the pool, and I kept going down, down, down. And I'd spitting and sputtering, and I came to the top. Finally, this lady jumped in and saved my life. She'd adopted 5 kids. She liked kids. She wasn't into kids dying, especially in her pool, so she saved me. I stood on the side of the pool, and I thought, I owe this woman my life. I'd be dead. She saved my life. I'm going to have to leave my house and come and live in her house and serve her my entire life. I'm going to be the pool boy. I just know it. I'm going to cut the grass. I'm going to run all their errands. I got to do whatever they say because I'd be dead if it wasn't for Mrs. Comer. Well, she told me I didn't have to stay there, so I did go home. But, you know, it's kind of like that, you know, in our relationship with the Lord. And so we're this walled garden, and I want to encourage you. Sometimes I got to be honest with you. I hate the message of walls. I like freedom. But I need walls sometimes in my life. You know? So the fruit of God's Spirit in you grows over the best friendships ever. Amen. So, should we pray now or after we have another song? Sounds like a plan. So let's prepare our hearts even as we sing, okay?